Hey guys, it's Dave DeFore. Join me and my buddies Seth Partnow and Mo Dakhil every Friday right here on the Athletic NBA Show for Nerder, She Wrote, a podcast that attempts to look at the cutting edge of the NBA and the sport of basketball. Whether it's sports science, a deep dive on X's and O's, tales from the video room, or the next big thing in analytics, you can find it all every single Friday on Nerder, She Wrote, right here on the Athletic NBA Show.
Join us this Saturday for an all-new episode of The Athletic NBA Show, Saturday Slammin' Jam, hosted by me, Andrew Schlecht. I'll be joined by my co-hosts Alex Spears and many of the Athletic beat writers that you know and love. We will recap the week of the NBA, play some NBA trivia, and just overall talk about the league that we love most. So while you're flipping your flapjacks, tending to your yard, or just sipping your coffee on Saturday morning, listen to Saturday Slammin' Jam on the Athletic NBA Show.
Want an easy way to stay up to date with the latest news and trends in the NBA? Listen to the NBA Daily Ding podcast Monday through Friday. Wake up and turn up the NBA Daily Ding to stay informed on all things NBA here at The Athletic and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show Monday through Friday
on the Athletic Podcast Network.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome to Point of Contention. Five subjects, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy producing. Coming up on the show, Lakers panic again. Ainge out. Double OT Dame time. Fans suck and playoff MVP. Let's get to our two contestants. In this corner, the Bay Area legend, new homeowner, and author of two books about the Warriors dynasty, the one and the only, Marcus Thompson. Marcus, are Kyrie and the Nets uniting the whole world on this championship run?
Oh, this is symbiotic. This is Kwanzaa, baby. That's what they're doing. They are pushing Kwanzaa from the back end of December into the summer, right on the precipice of Juneteenth. This is like the blackest team of all time. Let's go. Kyrie's got the afro. You feel me? James Harden's got the beard. And Kevin Durant's got the, you know what I'm saying, the old signature grandfather hair. You feel me? So, yeah, I feel like they're uniting us all in the way that black people do.
I do feel you, Marcus. And in this corner, Bay Area suburban legend, author of the book, The Victory Machine, Ethan Sherwood, paperback Strauss. Ethan, how many times have you been threatened to be beat up by an NBA player?
Three times. But it might be two and a half, depending.
Whoa, what's the half?
I just love how Bogut asked me that question. He didn't remember actually doing it, which was funny to me. It was many years ago, but that was very amusing to me.
Well, speaking of getting beat up, Jade, start the clock. Lakers panic time again. Psych. Oh, boy, the drama that is unfolding out west between the Lakers and the Suns. That is about to put a serious crimp in LeBron's Space Jam 2 debut next month. Tuesday night, the Suns took Game 5, the pivotal Game 5, stomping the AD-less Lakers 115-85. But we've been down this road before. Jade, play the tape!
Psych!
Quote, we'll find out what we're made of, and we'll find out how bad we want this. That's Lakers coach Frank Vogel afterwards, when asked how his team will respond in Game 6. LeBron said, we got our ass kicked. It's just that simple. For the first time in his career, dropped two straight games in a first-round series. Ethan, I ask you, is it time to LePanic?
I didn't know that Space Jam 2 was coming out in a month. Yeah, I guess it is time to LePanic. I had no idea about that. I thought it was one of those, hey, job well done, Lakers. You had a very short turnaround after winning the bubble championship.
Did you think it was just a myth? What do you mean you didn't know it was coming out?
I didn't know. I knew there was a Space Jam on the horizon. I didn't know the horizon was arriving so soon. Maybe they shouldn't have done it through Spring Hill Warner. Maybe they should have done it through Disney because they could pull the strings and get the correct whistles. You'd have Bob Iger grabbing onto Devin Booker's leg like Jeff Van Gundy on Alonzo Mourning just to help out. But that's not the case. perhaps poor business dynamics. It is a dire situation for these Lakers, and maybe there's a small window of opportunity in Chris Paul's injury getting re-aggravated. And that's sad to say, but a lot of this series has been determined by whoever's healthy. I think there's a big chasm right now between people who have had groin strains and people who haven't. That's my observation when I look towards the future of the series, because the people who have had them are going, yeah, Lakers are cooked, man. Yeah, no AD. And the people who haven't are going, Anthony Davis is always injured. He's got to suit up and get in there. That's the difference I'm seeing. I thought Barkley did both, which was amazing. Barkley did both things, both sides of the Anthony Davis issue, calling him street clothes, which was brutal, unfair, and hilarious. And then later on,
street clothes Davis, come on, that's kind of pretty clever.
It was hilarious. And then later on, talking about, hey, if you have a groin strain, you really can't come back playing. He should have stayed back in LA instead of traveling with the team. I don't understand. And you know what? I agree on all counts. And it is, man, it is quite the setup. This is a big time game six, man. I'm excited for this game six.
Yeah. I do have some breaking news here. If Anthony Davis plays in game six, he is already questionable to return. So Marcus, with this AD injury, I am of the opinion that a groin injury does not heal quickly. It just doesn't. So Marcus, what do you make of this Lakers peril right here?
First off, I just don't know what's with the groin shades. Like, groins are resilient, you know, groins bounce back. Groins cannot be held down, and eventually groins will erect again. So you just never know.
When what are we talking about here?
We're talking about the abductor muscle, I think.
We're talking about groins. I think you're both missing what's happening here. And I'm surprised at you, Zach, you movie expert.
What?
LeBron clearly was chilling in game five.
Oh.
This sets up the big overcoming adversity, you know, the struggle story. Okay. This is the rags. Sure. This is, look, do you think Dennis was trying to make shots? Do you really think he was?
I hope not at this point. I mean, goodness.
Do you really think that was the plan? Like, do
you think
really
he accidentally throw a lob pass into the rim at that point? Like, my God.
He should have developed a groin strain.
Frank Vogel is running, drumming out there because he feels like that's actually the best strategy? Mm. No, this is all designed for Space Jam 2. The heroic comeback, you get your powers back at the last minute.
Oh.
You stretch out your arm and hit the game. Like, LeBron knows what he's doing, man. Spring Hill on three.
Spring Hill on three. Mav yeah. on
Jade,
three.
Jade, which ED medication are we spinning right now?
Roman,
get Roman. Well, maybe get Roman, bring some power back to the groin of those affected.
I think people think the groin is something that's
edit that in post.
Blue chew. I think people think the groin is something it isn't. In most cases, it's the abductor muscle, but it is. I mean, I thought high ankle sprain was bad, and it is bad. LeBron doesn't look like LeBron in this series, but groin, man. I mean, you can't. This is where I can bring my knowledge to bear right here, since I am not an NBA player. You can't casually golf with a groin strain. It destroyed Tiger Woods' career, a groin strain did. When we consider that Anthony Davis isn't exactly, I don't know how to put this.
Groin strain hit the back of his window with a golf club?
Well, you know. It was one of many dominoes. One thing
Maybe
led to the
he
other.
Got the groin That's strain true. Led to that, right?
Yeah. How he got the groin strain. Oh my God. Yeah. So it's bad, man. In most cases, and if it's coming up on the MRI, I know they're saying microscopic, but if it's on the MRI, if you can see it, if it's there at all.
No, that's bad.
Yeah, that's
bad.
That's not good. That's in every single motion, and it just seems like they need him. They will lose without him. But if he is that compromised, my God, it's like they're dodging bullets between him and LeBron. And a lot of it's that short turnaround that they had that I think put them in peril, put them at risk, and they're suffering for it. And credit to the Suns, man. That was a killer performance. Devin Booker. A great player at home, and it was so interesting. I know Draymond mentioned it, but the way he was turning down shots from the outside, which I want to say, I want to go against the old heads the old NBA players who say that's what you need to do. But it kind of worked. It really did soften the Lakers up that he was just getting into the paint like that and settled the Suns down. And yeah, they're a complete team. And I think they could even potentially do it with Chris Paul being compromised.
What's so troubling, Zach, from the Lakers' perspective, is they kind of need LeBron to be that. They need LeBron to just relentlessly attack. And this is where now, remember, we've talked about this. Like, will he have it linger? And I don't know if he can take Devin Booker. Like, I don't – like, he started that game so well. It's like, okay, LeBron's here. And then all of a sudden he's like jacket jumpers and it's like, no, and he's doing the get everybody involved. But like, yo, these dudes don't want to shoot. They don't want to be a part of this. He's got to go Detroit LeBron 25 straight. And I wonder if he's got it, except for the fact that this is all set up and he's going to do
it. Right. Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the storyline will continue. Trust me on this one, y'all. I'm telling you.
I have a little baseball analogy right here. You know me. You know me, Zach. Major seam head.
Hey, don't be bringing up the A's here.
I know.
You know, unfortunately, it is the A's because we only have them for so much longer. So we need to talk about them
for a few more months.
Yeah. We only have them for a little bit more time. But I was watching the A's game after the Nuggets Blazers game last night, and they brought in a relief. And all he threw was slider every single time. It was slider, slider, slider. Zamora was his name. And what was interesting to me about it was that he eventually got beat up by the A's, who were hitting his slider not when it was in the strike zone, but like swinging on their knees for Sean Murphy for a double and just chasing out of the zone. And it's this idea of, if I know what you're going to do and I know what you want to do, even if it's not the optimal situation for me, I can stick with it and I can anticipate it. And that seems like that's the Lakers offense right now. That seems like it's LeBron doing these driving kicks and he doesn't really want to get to the rim. And so even if he gets into the paint and even if he has beat his defender in a way, the Suns still have enough anticipation in the back of their minds of what he really wants to do. And that's what we're seeing play out right now in the series.
I think when you roll up with Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell, who you were supposed to get to fix the offensive issues that you had last year when LeBron was on the floor and Dennis Schroeder puts up zero and Montrezl Harrell is someone Frank Vogel doesn't want to play. And then you don't even have the good Morris twin. I think you're in trouble, guys. I think that's leaving you out in the cold.
Well, maybe they should replace him with the good twin. I mean, who would
try it? Yeah, a little swap there. Speaking of out in the cold, take two. Danny Ainge, more like Danny ain't there anymore. The Boston Celtics announced Wednesday that Danny Ainge is retiring and coach Brad Stevens is being promoted to president of basketball operations. What? This just a day after the Celtics bowed out of the playoffs to the Brooklyn Nets in five games. Ainge has been at the helm for 18 years, with his greatest achievement being Kevin Garnett dragging that team to a 2008 title. Since then, Ainge accumulated a ton of young talent, draft picks, and was notoriously always on the brink of making that big trade. And luckily, you'd find out the day after the trade deadline what that big trade almost was, but couldn't quite turn the corner, or even close for that matter, despite making the conference finals several times in the last 4 years. Never actually a real contender in that sense. So, one last note, Brad Stevens and the Celtics will be looking for a new coach. Coach K just retired from Duke, or he's retiring from Duke after this season. Coach K, anybody handling that? Marcus, how would you define the legacy of one Danny Ainge?
Let's see. Is the greatest thing Danny Ainge ever did was hitting Mario Elie in the face with the ball? Like, was that?
Wow. Look, this dude was basically a professional Major League Baseball player. He's a champion.
Danny Ainge was a professional irritant, and he was really good at his job and he made big shots. And I actually think he's excellent at like evaluating how to dump, you know, when to dump players and when to trade them in for draft picks. It's the second part he can't do, right? It's the, now what do I do with these picks? What's more striking to me is how Brad Stevens continues to fail up. It is unbelievable the charmed existence he has. Like, and look, we know charmed existence. Like, Steve Kerr, it has a charmed existence.
You're looking at one right here in the Zoom.
but he at least won three championships. Like, Brad Stevens loses and gets promoted. Like, I don't even understand this. What universe do you bow out like this every year? I guess you made it to Eastern Conference Finals one time, and somehow you end up on top of the game.
That's the thing, Marcus. They made it three out of the last 4 years prior to this season, but we're like, no one ever thought like, oh, this team's going to make the finals. They made it because the East sucked.
But wasn't that a talent thing? I mean, if nobody was ever – there was one season where people were juiced on them and thought they could potentially win a championship, right? I don't think that – people ever came away from it thinking that, oh my God, Brad Stevens should have elevated this Celtics core to winning a championship. Wait a second. I'm distracted because I'm just wondering, did my analogy even make sense earlier with Zamora?
I got to be honest. I zoned out.
Because now I'm thinking about
it. You said baseball.
You said Zamora. They were packing the paint.
I started looking at my phone. I was looking at what the topic was next.
Are the Suns even really playing LeBron the driving kick? I feel like they're packing the paint. They're just letting the Lakers miss. So that's number one.
Important Brad Stevens analysis there. Thank you, Ethan.
Number two. Are we sure this is really getting a promotion? I mean, we act like it because on the org chart, the GM is the coach of the boss of the coach. But it's not really like that. Coaches tend to get paid more than GMs. To my mind, I'm not sure that this is necessarily a promotion. It seems like an effort to just keep Stevens in the fold of things. But I don't like it. At first blush.
But why? Why are you keeping Stevens? I'm ready
to throw out some reckless speculation.
Okay.
If you want Brad Stevens to stick around, Danny Ainge has got to go. Why? It's just my job to throw out the reckless speculation. It's your job to analyze it, but that's what I think. I think it's just get him out of here. I want to stay. Promote me up the ladder.
Do you think... Brad Stevens is now angelic looking Pat Riley, where it's, hey, we're going to get you upstairs. And when it's time to knife a coach, you know,
it's you. Yeah, you got it.
You go back in, you swoop in. Hey, when this situation actually is championship worthy, it hasn't been, Brad, but you can come in and do it.
So this next coach is going to get fired in a couple of years. And then the guy after that's going to be the one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it's going to go.
The guy after that will be Brad Stevens. Yeah. Like, oh, we got a winner. I got this. Here we go. I got this.
Dude, this is
weird timing though, right? Like they got injured.
Yeah.
Like it almost feels like they're being punished for something that was kind of out of their control. They got injured and they faced Brooklyn in the first round. Like what were they supposed to do?
Something's not adding up. Like the whole thing is weird. Something's not adding up. We're missing some part of this particular story. I don't love it because I think about what's the main thing Brad Stevens brings to the table as a coach that people talk about. It's, from what I've heard, his photographic memory, that he just has a memory for every play and has a certain genius for just drawing up plays that you could never anticipate. That's not really a GM skill, as far as I know. They're not really the same job. I actually remember talking to a certain assistant GM with a certain New England team represented by a certain diminutive ethnic stereotype of a mascot. And he was making the point, and it stuck in my mind, that you've got all these coaches around that time, this is years ago, who were becoming GMs. And yet none of these coaches could think a GM could be a coach and just grab the clipboard like that. So why are they assuming they can do it? Maybe this will work out, but I don't tend to think that coaches are often well suited to be general managers. Being a GM is a very miserable job. It requires a very different skill set. And I don't get it. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I will offer this up, Ethan. I will offer this up, right? To that point, Brad Stevens, when he was Butler's coach, he was essentially a GM, right? Like you are recruiting, you are evaluating talent, you are trying to bring players into the mix.
Yeah,
like you are really doing all that stuff. I'm not saying that's going to translate easily to the NBA. It's a very different system. But there is something there.
There's something.
I'm just saying, the dude goes from a job that's known for lasting about 3 years and eventually you're going to get fired to somehow like avoiding that whole part of it. And now you get to go to a job where, yeah, I'm going to ride this out for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. He will never get fired.
No.
Think about that. Brad Stevens may never get fired. And I don't even know how that's fair.
I mean,
no, he needs to get fired one time at least. Steve Kerr got fired, right? Like, yeah. You got to get fired at least one time.
Steve Kerr did not get fired, by the way. He quit and he drove to San Diego listening to the County
Pros.
Yeah,
but it was kind of like, you, I quit because the peak slip is coming.
I mean, maybe.
What a privilege that must be. You know what Ainge rhymes with? You know what Ainge rhymes with? Range. You know who has range? Take three, check the clock. It's Dame time, baby.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
The legend of Damian Lillard yet again grew Tuesday night. Oh, as he orchestrated a game for the ages. 55 points, an NBA playoff record, 12 three-pointers made, 17 of 24 from the field, as the legend Dame Time led the Blazers to lose to the Nuggets. Lost? The fuck? Wait, he scored 55 points and they lost? Jade, are you... Hold on, let me check this.
This is two overtimes, though, you know?
Okay. Damn. Well, like, Damn Time, not Dame Time. Damn. Lillard played 52 minutes, 17 of 24, 12 of 17 from deep, but it wasn't enough. Nuggets coach Mike Malone said Damian Lillard was superhuman tonight.
I believe it's Michelle.
Nuggets coach Mike Malone. It's
Nuggets Mike Malone and coach
Michael Malone.
My apologies.
And it's going to take another superhuman effort to come back from a 3-2 deficit the Blazers find themselves in now. Ethan, is Dame Time out of time?
Probably. I mean, maybe not in this series, but eventually. They don't have enough talent. They really can't get there. They're not a contending team. And they've been in this... He's had the Sisyphean task for so long. They've really been here for a while. Even when they made the conference finals, they weren't really coming with a championship-worthy team. And so I always say with them that they didn't make the hard decision. I think that they had to build their team differently. That CJ and Dame, all the resources devoted to that, to having effectively two point guard size guys in the backcourt, you know, as great as they are and as good as CJ McCollum is, maybe they should have made a swap at a certain point and tried to build it differently. But, you know, I will say this. I love Damian Lillard. I think everybody loves Damian Lillard. Does anybody not? It seems like, as frustrating as it is, that
Paul
he...
George?
Well, yeah. Well, Paul George, Russell Westbrook. Maybe not those two. But fan-wise, I mean, I did an article on the local ratings. The Blazers are they're number three, despite not being a contender. And I think that's the familiarity of Damian Lillard, his charisma, that you know he's going to be with the Blazers, that he's committed to an imperfect situation. And I guess I'm saying that there's a value in that. I hope they do right by him. I hope they get him enough talent to where he can compete for a title. But at the same time, I think that he's deriving a lot from still being there and being associated with that franchise.
Marcus, did Mike Malone get away with one of the worst coaching jobs we've ever seen in a win last night? As he takes Nikola Jokic out on a final possession.
We went through this.
Yeah,
he didn't foul
right
because he didn't want his young defenders duped into a 4-point play. That's a very reasonable excuse.
You know what happened when Jason Kidd threw out a similar reason for not fouling up three because he was afraid of a 4-point play? You know what we did to him? We fired his ass. Him.
We've already established that.
In fairness, that Dame shot over Shaq Harrison was ridiculous. Like, that was ridiculous. That was about
they
as
were all
tough.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
but that one was about as tough a three pointer as you're going to see.
But it's not ridiculous for Dame, right? And that's the odd part about this is like, okay, maybe you don't foul. Send the double. Who else? CJ McCollum was struggling like crazy. Nobody else could make a shot. Trap him like crazy and make him give the ball up. They didn't even do that. And like you said, he's been vouching for Jokic can play defense. Jokic can play defense. Hey, he was out of that game so quick.
Out. And they didn't. So they couldn't bring him back in for the final possession of overtime.
The final offensive possession. And so you got, who's it? Austin Rivers?
I think Austin Rivers or Austin Monty Rivers Morris. It was one of those.
28-footer? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So Jokic is not on the floor at the most pivotal moment in the game to answer Dame.
I'll say Jokic, yeah, Jokic looked tired.
Not fouling twice was crazy.
Yeah.
Not fouling twice?
Yeah.
Can we talk about Michael Porter Jr. making the defensive play of the game? That was interesting too, where I think that deflection, that's why CJ stepped out of bounds. That was just a great example of how effort just sometimes creates some chaos that works out for you. But man, I don't know.
Probably the play of the night was that pass from Jokic.
Oh, that was insane.
that over the top to the corner. Oh my God.
Just the idea who makes passes
Rocco
like that?
I think Rocco hurt his groin.
I know. Rocco got AD'd on that one.
That pass to the corner, it was like a chip shot in soccer of just having an arc on it. I mean, that was
up and down for sure.
Oh, it reminded me of Matt Chapman, or I don't know. I was going to make an A's reference there.
It was like the looping home run of a Matt Olson with launch angle.
And I feel like he didn't have to do that. I feel like he intentionally put it at just the height to toy with Robert Covington.
Oh,
like he could have just did a regular lob.
He could have hit the cutter.
He decided to taunt him. Yeah, he decided to taunt him and put it right where, like, you think you can get this, but you can't get this, and I want you to fall and be embarrassed for trying. Like, that's the part. He taunted him with a pass. It was crazy.
He chipped the keeper. He basically did a lob, but instead of a lob to the hoop, he did a lob to the corner three.
Chipped the keeper?
Well, he chipped the keeper.
Repeating it doesn't clear it up for me. What do you mean, chip the keeper? What does that mean?
Nah, if you say it three times, you'll understand.
Yeah, you'll get it by osmosis. He chipped the keeper is what he did.
Now you get it, right?
You understand. Wait, you've never seen
that
in
keeper
soccer?
Got chipped like you would not believe. You've never seen a keeper get chipped that way.
This in soccer where the keeper is running at the striker and the striker the guy trying to score the goal.
And the goalie? Why are we calling him a keeper? Are they called keepers?
Yeah, they're called keepers. It's goalie hockey.
Okay.
The keeper is coming at you. Instead of hitting the ball hard, instead of trying to hit the ball hard, you loft it over him and he goes, whoa,
and he's got to scramble to get back and he looks desperate. And
it's humiliating.
Oh, I want to get the ball. And you can't.
It looks awesome. And that's what happened with the Jokic pass that he probably did because he's from a soccer playing culture. That's probably
sounds like that would be a messy situation, right? Well, we do know one thing. Game six in Portland. Grab your popcorn. Unless take four. No popcorn for you, you asshole fans who keep doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing at games. This past week, the NBA saw a plethora of bad fan activities, from throwing popcorn at Russell Westbrook, racist comments directed towards Ja Morant and his family, someone tossing a water bottle at Kyrie Irving's head, and now, or what about the guy running on the court to clap the backboard in D.C.? What the hell? And now, because of these handful of people yet to be identified, other than that 21-year-old idiot Cole Buckley from someplace in Massachusetts. Other than that one, the rest of us will have to suffer. The NBA is enhancing its fan code of conduct policy following these reports of misbehaving fans. Now, the NBA has issued an 11-point memo, which states clearly, by the way, it's one more point than the Lakers had in the second quarter of Game 5, an 11-point memo. Which states clearly, among other things, that alcoholic beverages will still be permitted, but encourages fans to tell on guests for inappropriate behavior to the nearest usher, security guard, or guest service staff member. In addition to banning fans, teams and arenas are urged to develop processes for pursuing law violations. And here's the kicker, guys. This will solve it. These code of conduct announcements are going to be made 3 times during games. Oh!
Wow.
That's how you fix it. I told you, you say it 3 times, you understand automatically. You say it 3 times
and it works. That's fun.
It hypnotizes the drunk fan.
But the fundamentals. Marcus, why do you think we saw this explosion of bad fans gone wild this past week?
Fans gone wild.
Fans gone wild. I, you know what? I actually think there is a socioeconomic development happening here. I feel like part of this is a byproduct of tickets being so expensive. And the fact that people are paying so much money adds to the entitlement. Like, if I'm paying $2,000 to sit here, like, it's not enough for me just to cheer. And if you didn't see this type of stuff when there was a family there. You didn't see this type of stuff when you could bring your son and your daughter to a game and it was like a regular working class family event.
That Celtics fan could even afford a shirt under his jersey. He spent so much on tickets, Marcus.
No, you don't wear shirts under jerseys. Come on,
as a fan, physique,
baby.
As a fan,
absolutely you do. It's interesting. I mean, I don't want to just simply say, although I could, like, you know, I'm just happy that it's never anybody black doing this, but I do feel like there's a sense of entitlement, right? There's a sense of like, I'm in this spot and I have some sort of power. And what makes you feel that? I'm like, if I spent that kind of money, maybe I feel that too. I don't know. It's so crazy to me to think that you have this power over somebody that you could behave in this way.
Yeah.
Like, we got to examine where you get this from. Like,
how does that come about? Why do you think people are doing that? I just can't figure out why this happening.
I can't quite figure it out.
Yeah, me neither. Ethan, this activity pales in comparison. I don't know. I'm just making a white joke.
I feel like
there.
I'm being baited defending the. We had this with Waz in my podcast where it's like I'm put in the position of the negative pathologizing of the white man.
Ethan, explain white people at games.
They're. Explain white people.
Explain white people at games.
They buy a ticket and they show up to the game. And it seems like the family thing was an interesting observation, actually. It reminds me that marriage and family is civilizing, because we are seeing these kind of rogue dudes go crazy. The one that was craziest to me, actually, was the popcorn one. That's the one that's still the weirdest, where it's like a little...
I still think spitting at somebody is an aggressive situation.
Nah, they're all bad. Yeah. They're all bad.
That's so out of pocket.
They're all bad, but they're reflexive. The popcorn one, he like snuck like he was in some sort of tunnel in trench warfare. Like, he little sneak up there. And then so much popcorn in the bag as well. I've never gotten that much popcorn in Wells Fargo. They usually skimp. But there was more popcorn than bags somehow. So that one stuck in my mind. I mean, people have posited that it's the people a year and a half of not really interacting with each other. And then you team them all up and they're just going crazy.
I don't buy that.
You don't buy
what
that?
What happened to appreciation? No. What happened to like, yo, this is so great. Let me do what I can to maximize it. Who gets cooped up for a year and decides I'm going to do something to put me in jail? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's hard to find any rationality to it. The only thing I can really come up with is it might be overstimulating, or people are getting too drunk because they haven't been around each other. So they're going insane. And this is like the first fun thing they've done in a while. Yeah. And some people don't have good impulse control and some people are total idiots. I don't know of any sort of fan code of conduct, whatever is going to do anything. I do think maybe extending the punishment out to perhaps legal scares some people into compliance, perhaps. But there's just been this weird dynamic, this rotten dynamic recently between fans and players, where it just seems like there is mutual animosity that has been building, not in just this situation, but for a few years now. And now we're seeing it burl up to the surface. So it's quite unfortunate.
Every fourth seat needs to be a kid. Every fifth seat needs to be a kid. Hopefully people act better when kids are in the way.
Yeah.
Nah, that's not how people.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that would actually make it worse.
I think kids are civilizing, but you're gonna maybe have some crazy people who don't even care that they're there with their kids. But you want it to be family entertainment. You don't want it to be what football I think, has become for a lot of people, where I know people don't go to football games because dudes get into fights in the stands. You don't want that. You want to maintain.
Or baseball games.
Dodgers Astros recently. Yeah. Beat the shit out of each other. Yeah.
Although we saw one at Chase, I think, Marcus, before the COVID.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah, you don't want that. You don't.
Who was Andy Lou fighting?
Okay. I think it was Steve Kerr.
Steve Curry trained with Steve Kerr. Well, who will be the next player to be assaulted at a basketball game by a fan? Take five. It might be the playoff MVP. Fellas, it's been too long without some awards talk. And even though there is technically not an award for playoff MVP, we're doing it anyway. So who you got? Kawhi Leonard, Luka Doncic, Damian Lillard after last night. I think we know Marcus's pick. Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, who just had it announced that he has a small lateral tear in his meniscus and his day-to-day. So it might not be him, but the list goes on with possibilities. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, all kinds of people. Ethan, who would be your playoff MVP right now?
Yeah, that doesn't sound very day-to-day, that meniscus tear. I'm going KD. Mm-mm. Let's go Kevin Durant.
Ooh, yeah.
Hyper efficient. And has any team looked better than the Brooklyn Nets in these playoffs?
The Bucks did just sweep the Heat.
That's true. Yeah. But they lost to Vincenzo. I mean, they look better, I suppose, but one of the aspects of why they look better is out of it, and they're completely top heavy.
I'm pretty sure it was Drew Holiday. Dante's good, but I'm pretty sure that's Drew Holiday.
No, I'm not saying that it was because of him. I'm just saying I don't feel so great about them now because they are so top heavy in terms of their minutes. But yeah, look, the Nets, if you're looking at the award, like, what's the best team? What's the best player? And also just the storyline. If we're really looking MVP at this, the ability of Kevin Durant to come back from the Achilles and be this just incredibly efficient on the team that I do think is perhaps the favorite right now. I'm going to go with KD.
Marcus?
Yeah, KD is just not fair. So I'm going to go ahead and give this award to someone who, you know, probably otherwise wouldn't get mentioned if KD's in the mix. This is an obvious take. I think you know where I'm going to go. Right. I think if you know anything about me, if you read my work, you know where I will stand. But there's something in me just won't allow me to do anything else. And so I have to give the award to Trae Young.
I knew he was doing that. Oh, it was so classic. I knew it.
Trae Young.
What?
Come on. Listen, I feel like Drew right there. Drew almost single-handedly dismantled the Heat. Like, it was insane what he did. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that Trae Young just completely punking the Knicks. Not just beating them. Like, he's turned New York against the Knicks. Nope. Like, Julius Randle was the celebrated, Now they're ready to get rid of him. He's done. Like, Trae Young walked into New York, and he has Spike Lee turning on the Knicks. Stephen A. Smith can't even take it. Like, I love this, that Trae Young just went into New York and just slapped everybody, and they tried to spit on him, and they tried to cuss him out, and they only egged him on. I'm giving it to Ice Trae because this dude is like 5'5", and he's got the weight of the guard on his back.
I know.
He's been so fun to watch.
with a guy who's like under 6'5", you got to act like he's basically
Earl Boykins. Archibald. Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
by the way, funny you mentioned that, Ethan. When we were recording this on Wednesday, it's Earl Boykin's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Earl.
Wow.
Yeah. What was his bench press again? Something incredible?
I don't know, but he has short arms, so it's not impressive.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, Trae Young's been amazing. He's been just the way he controls that entire team. They're so bereft. They're just so without him on the court, it looks like they have no idea what to do. That team's fun, man. That Hawks team.
And we thought the New York would like kind of bully them. Like, you know, like it would get real and physical and... You know, like, all right, Atlanta's cute and all, but they won't stand
that's
up
what,
to this.
That's what Clint Capella said. Clint Capella was like, they're trying to be physical, which they're not, because otherwise we wouldn't be doing what we're doing.
Slight rant right here. All these people, these NBA Twitter people, these also occasional journalists who go, oh, we need to get rid of press conferences. No. I want more stuff like that. That's how you get stuff like that. With Clint Capella sounding like a movie villain and setting up the next game in this completely awesomely arrogant way. You get that through press conferences after these games, before these games. don't take them away just because somebody in some other sport has an issue with them for whatever reason. I don't like any of that. They are not entirely fun to participate in, but I make the analogy that it's almost like you're digging for gold. You know, a lot of the time spent digging, you're not going to enjoy, but you need that gold. Clint Capella talking shit to the Knicks. That's gold, my friends. That's gold.
Yeah.
Nah, get rid of him. We get Clint Capella on our own. We don't need to spoon feed.
Oh yeah. Team media will certainly be helpful with getting us individual players for all individual reporters. That's a good idea, Marcus.
No. Like, let Kelly Eco get it. That's fine. Kelly Eco will deliver the goods.
Sure.
You know. I don't want Ethan getting deboed in press conferences anymore. Like, you know.
Who's going to do it this time? Mulder?
Yeah. I mean,
who's left? Like,
bad boy Steph. Steph's trended bad
Draymond,
boy.
Draymond, baby.
Draymond.
Yeah, right. Steph might go off on you one of
these days. He might. You think? It's possible. Clay. Maybe Clay. We'll see. The future is.
Clay would immediately apologize.
I'm sorry. I was just acting crazy. I was just kidding.
Let's just get rid of Zoom. We can get rid of press conferences until we're done with Zooms. That's what I would say.
Wow.
Let's get rid of the Zoom press conference. It's so stupid. Yeah. I also have never participated in one. So I'm just talking from what I think they are.
Listen, during the playoffs, I've been hopping around. It's not good. It's not a good representation of what we do, Ethan.
Rarely do you get the Clint Capella gold or Mike Malone talking about not fouling one up three.
You can't do the follow-up questions. That's what I would love.
Yeah, you can't do the follow-up. Yeah, you can't do the follow-up. But some of the questions, too.
Follow-up is wheat from chaff. Follow-up is who's for real, who's paying attention.
Absolutely.
Who can think?
Is that another soccer player? Wheat and chaff?
Wheat from tares,
keeper?
Baby.
Which one's the keeper? Which one's the striker? Wheat from tares.
He's going biblical on you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's you know, who can do this? It separates people who are doing it in this automated way versus the people who can move and improvise and analyze, hey, what was just said that was kind of interesting. Let's stay on that. Because, Marcus, how annoying is it when somebody is making news and they're in a rhythm and they're going off and you know it's time to feed the beast?
Oh my gosh. And the player's like, oh man, I didn't shoot well. Like, me and my wife are having issues, you know, but you know, it was a rough night. Next question. So
does it mean to the fan, like, to you, what? That the fans are showing up in arenas now?
Is that important?
Can you talk to me about the pick and roll coverage you guys did halfway through the third quarter?
They didn't even listen to the answer. It's like, yo, he just said this. You got to follow up on it.
You guys run a horn set. What's your mentality?
Or just that dude, man, like, he was trying. That was a dirty play. He's a coward. He's a cowardly player. He's always been a cowardly player. And I said some stuff to him that let him know that. And then the next question will be, you guys have had a great record at home.
You out-rebounded them tonight.
We're literally dying to slow them. He's trying to press unmute. They won't let you.
How important is it to win a basketball game in the playoffs?
It's like, oh, God, do you understand that they're giving us news? This is the story. This is the drama. You have to just follow up with it and ask another question. It's frustrating. And
yes, it's
in a real press conference, you can grab that mic. You can
just hold it.
So you just talk.
You don't even have the mic. You don't even pass it.
Or one of my favorites, one of my proudest career moments was Mark Jackson yelling at us, don't twist my words. Don't twist my words. And I just asked him, so who exactly is twisting your words and how? He didn't really have much after that, but it was just funny to me.
That was your greatest moment?
It was one of my greatest moments because he clearly wasn't prepared for that. He just thought that he would be able to say it. Do you remember that whole thing? He was telling us.
Oh yeah, I definitely remember that.
He was telling us that we really couldn't say much because we hadn't seen a 50-win team in a long time. It was interesting times back then. Darren Urban recording stuff. Man, the past, everybody.
Yeah. Mama, there goes that memory.
Bogey got hurt sleeping, and then we run to Bogey.
Yeah. Didn't get hurt sleeping. Ridiculous.
All right, that's going to do it for the latest edition of the Point of Contention podcast on the Athletic Podcast NBA show with the Athletic Podcast Network. For Ethan Strauss, for Marcus Thompson, I'm Zach Harper. That's Jade Hoy. Produce him. Subscribe to The Athletic or you'll be out like Danny Ainge.
Mike Malone. Michel.